This is the time in Advent when John the Baptist takes centre stage. And three for John the Baptist, he calls on us to sing, oh, prepare the way for Jesus Christ, he is coming, Christ the King. So, three images to help us with John the Baptist's job description. When the kings of France chose to go walkabout, travelling around the country to meet their people, fresh the flesh, they made a point of never simply pitching up somewhere unannounced. Quite the opposite, or as they might say, au contraire. Heralds were sent out in advance. A great flourish of fanfares and trumpets preceded the king's party, so that everyone knew the moment had come, the big moment was here, the king was on his way. So stop what you're doing and gather round and come and see what's what and who's who. Too good to miss, too important an event to let it slip past because you were too preoccupied with other things. What could be more important and precious than the arrival of your king? The effect of the fanfares and the heralds was to say, put everything on hold, stop everything and be in this moment. Your king is coming. Look, here he is. The role of John the Baptist was to say to his time and to his people, stop everything, pay attention. The Lord himself is coming among you. John's was a crucial role because to miss this moment was to miss everything. Here is the crux of time, the hinge of history. What a colossal blunder to allow yourself to be so caught up in other things that you fail to take account of the significance of this cosmic reality happening before your very eyes. I had a very narrow escape once. I was chatting with a family about the deceased mother, gathering information to use at the funeral in the carefully crafted eulogy. I was taken aback when the son said, "You must be sure to mention what a terrible old whore my mother was." Long pause. He went on, "She would never throw out anything. Gathered so much junk you could hardly move in the glory hole. The garage was piled high with the stuff she would never use but could never throw out. Yes, she was an inveterate hoarder." Close run thing there. Imagine the gasps if I'd stayed with whore and not moved on to hoarder. My late father was an inveterate hoarder. He would die rather than throw anything out. You never know when it might be useful, he would say, as he put another broken clock or bicycle part in the loft or in the shed. His house became a cross between a scout jumble sale and the stockroom of the British Museum. A good bonfire would have helped unclutter his life to an incalculable degree. Feng Shui was not a feature of his generation. The old Cliff Richard classic held no appeal, got no bags and baggage to weigh me down. Travelling so fast, my feet ain't touching the ground. Travelling light, I'm in such a hurry to be with my baby tonight. Well, not many of us are travelling light through this veil of tears. There is perhaps a bit of the squirrel in all of us. We have the accumulated rags and bones that have winkled their way into our life and stayed. And that's true of our psychological, emotional and spiritual lives too. We carry there a whole pile of extra baggage that gums up the works, retards our spiritual growth, bad experiences of the wrong kind of religion. Questions that no one had the courage to tell us don't have answers. Failures that haunt us. Guilt that hobbles us. John's job was to encourage the people of his time to get rid of the clutter and invest their full, untrammelled energy in waiting for the Messiah, who would inaugurate something new and wonderful, introduce us to another way to think and to live. It's an idea carried over from the Old Testament prophet Malachi, who urged the people of his day to build the bonfire of their vanities and to watch as all the accumulated extraneous stuff is consumed by the flames of a passionate longing for the coming of God in power and liberty. In this way, the personality is unencumbered and eager for the arrival of the sent one. John's clear message is that if there is anything that might block our view of the truth of the moment, that is the coming of the Christ, we are to push it aside, unload the excess baggage of sentimentality or busyness or pride or whatever may distract us, and be there, lean and ready to understand, to welcome and receive the Christ. Which brings us to John's famous catchphrase, his mission statement. prepare ye the way of the Lord. You might remember a lovely sketch from the days of the two Ronnies. Ronnie Barker is at the off-licence buying drinks. 4 bottles of whiskey, 3 bottles of brandy, 4 bottles of gin, 3 of vodka, 6 bottles of sherry, 5 bottles of martini, 4 dozen cans of lager, 4 dozen bottles of Guinness. He gets the bill, and as he's struggling out the door with his bottles and cans, he turns to the shopkeeper and says, "Of course, if it wasn't for the children, we wouldn't bother much about Christmas." People prepare for the Christmas extravaganza in all sorts of ways. John's job is to make sure that the people of his time get the right perspective as they prepare for the coming of the Messiah. There was a time, though it seems a long time ago, when it was all a bit more simple and straightforward, and people around us had a clear focus on what they were preparing for, the birth of the Saviour at Bethlehem. But it's become harder and harder to keep a steady gaze on that truth. The pool of the alternative secular Christmas, with its commercialism and sentimentality, is very strong. And without being po-faced about it, the church has to make a straight path through the desert of the shallow, the Disney-style flummery, and bring our thinking back on course. Which is why we're called to light the candles, to sing the story, to celebrate the meaning, to serve the people, and resist ourselves the seductive force of the marketplace with its tendency to sell a cardboard replica Christmas with no religion, no theology, no good news. This is not just about critiquing the world of business and the shameless opportunism that launches in early November the merchandising crusade. It's about preparing ourselves, our homes, our churches, to embrace the true miracle of it all, to prepare in our hearts a room. Making the way straight may mean dealing with old resentments that fester away, casting off that hard heart that accepts division and brokenness, the pride that refuses to give the King his rightful place in our heart. Instead, the door will be open to welcome his coming, for him to take his rightful place, where his love can take root in our hearts and we can be changed forever.